ज्ञानं जन शलाकाय चक्षुर्निलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Several subject matters have been discussed many times by Srila Prabhupada in his books. Two of them have been discussed in this purport. One is the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Archavigraha, the form of the deity. How the deity is Krishna. The deity is not simply stone or wood. The deity is Krishna. And those who worship Krishna in the deity form as Krishna, they get the benefit. Another point which Prabhupada often stresses in his books is within the wider discussion that of Varnashram society, what is the position of women in society? So we may wonder why Prabhupada discusses this so much. Sometimes in his purports, Prabhupada discusses something which is not directly referred to in the text, but is can be inferred from it. Just like in one purport, I believe in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description of a fight between the demigods and the demons. And it is said that the fighting was so horrific that blood was scattered, the blood was splashed up to the circle of the sun, up to the circle of the sun planet. So in the purport, although it says nothing about this, but in the purport, Prabhupada notes that it is stated how the blood went up to the circle of the sun planet, not up to the circle of the moon planet. Therefore, we can understand the moon is further away than the sun, because the moon was not mentioned and the sun was. So similarly, here is not directly mentioned what is the social position of women, but it's inferred in the text. Dwarakaya kulastriyaha raja margam gate Krishna. Krishna was going on the road, and the brahmanas and so many respectable people would be there to meet him, offer him a reception when Krishna would enter, as any king would go. Krishna is the king of Dwarka, Dwarkadhish, Dwarkanath. So he was going on the road, the Raja Marg, means the main road, wide road, in all of the big cities, capital cities especially, there would be a wide road, especially for ceremonial processions, when the king would come, or a visiting prince would come, or when the deities would go on procession. Just like in Puri, there is the grand road between the temple of Jagannath and the Gundicha temple, very wide road, suitable for festival. So Krishna would be going on the road, and family members, princes, brahmanas would be there offering him praises, presentations of fruits, flowers, lamps, and so many things. And the ladies, kulastriya, this means, stri means woman, and kulastriya means of respectable families. This also is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita by Arjuna. He refers to kulastriya. That's a very respectable position, lady coming from a respectable family. This is a cornerstone of Vedic society, this idea of maintaining respect. That was also there in, if we see, aristocracy in England, Ireland, these different countries, the idea of maintaining respect. But their idea was a little different, that you had to go to a school, like in England, you had to go to Eton or Harrow, and you'd have to drink first-class whiskey and brandy, not just any ordinary whiskey or brandy. And you wouldn't just eat meat from Sainsbury's, you'd have to eat pheasant and all this kind of thing. So that was their idea of keeping the respect. They had that idea. But in Vedic culture, the idea of maintaining the respect of the family, there are so many observances to be followed. How the people of respectable family would behave. They would know how to behave, especially towards the brahmanas. Their behavior would be very cultured. We see there are many instances throughout the Vedic literature of brahmanas, even sometimes they misbehave. But the kshatriyas, especially the kshatriyas, very, very respectful to them. There's even in Mahabharata, there's an instance of Durvasa Muni coming to Dwaraka and very much not properly behaving with Krishna and Rukmini. But they, just to show the example, Krishna tolerated all the excesses of Durvasa Muni. So this idea, how one should behave in a very, to maintain the respect, to maintain the proper behavior. So for ladies, this Prabhupada has discussed many times, what is the proper behavior of ladies? Now we may ask, well, why is Prabhupada discussing this at length? I can ascertain this much, that we know that in spiritual life, the greatest stumbling block, or even in material life, is, what is that? Pumsastriya mittani bhavametam tayoraho hridya grantimahu ato griha kshetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yamaham vameti. The binding force, the shackles of material life are the attraction between man and woman. And when this becomes hardened, the knot on the heart becomes tightened by the intimate mixing of man and woman, then one thinks in terms of family, home, country, one's material attachments increase. And one thinks fully in terms of I and mine. Therefore, the whole thrust of spiritual life is how to get free from material attachments. And the strongest material attachment is this sex desire. Now, some people, they may be able to leave behind. Vanangato yadharimashriyeta. Just go to the forest. Take shelter of Krishna. But most people, they're not able to do that. For ladies, it's not recommended at all that they do that, except maybe in the vanaprastha stage if they follow their husband. They're supposed to live within the society. For most men, such a strong spirit of renunciation will not be possible. And anyway, in the modern age, that's not recommended at all anyway. Even sannyasis, this idea of going to the forest, that's not recommended. You have to live in society and preach Krishna consciousness. So, simply to say that this sexual attraction is our stumbling block, that's a fact, that should be stated. But then how practically to overcome with that? It's not just by saying that we can overcome. Therefore, the Vedic literatures, they prescribe grihastha ashram, different ashrams, brahmachari ashram, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. These are all meant for overcoming the material desires. Living with the material desires, indulging them to the minimum extent. That license is there in grihastha life. But in a regulated way, for the purpose of coming out the other side. In other words, an enlightened person enters the grihastha ashram with the aim of coming out, not just entering in, and that's it, till death us do part. Not till death us do part. Before that, you have to part and go on with your Krishna consciousness again in the renounced mode. And during the time of grihastha life also, going on with Krishna consciousness. And some allowance is there for little sense gratification. That also not much. And that also, along with the little license. I mean, the sense gratification means you live with family, maybe you have some nice clothes. Sometimes we see grihasthas, they like to wear, men and women both, nice clothes, rings, jewelry, all these things. So these things are, then social life, it's not just material possessions, but social life, mixing with family, mixing with friends, in a social way. So all these things, that is simply to how to live in society with the purpose of gradually making spiritual advancement. Therefore, it's not just social life, little sense gratification, but also there is a great sense of responsibility. The sense of responsibility is there. The grihasthas, they also have important function in society. They have to maintain the other three varanas. They have to bring up children. That's also important, as Arjuna has noted in the beginning of Bhagavatam, that if children are not brought up properly, then the whole world becomes like hell, because The children, they become, if they're not trained properly, then they become like wild animals. And that we see in the modern age. Children, they're not trained. What training they get from watching TV, mostly. And what are they going to learn from that? How to be violent, lusty, greedy, all these things they learn. So the Grahastha Ashram, that is meant for responsibility and how man and woman should live together, because it's a dangerous situation that Bhagavatam has described. Ghee, if ghee is in a pot and it's put next to the fire, then it melts. So similarly, man and woman put together, the attraction becomes very strong. Therefore, the Grihastha life is arranged in such a way that even in Grihastha life, the social intercourse between man and woman, very restricted, not just freely mixing all the time. It's a very different society today. But even we'll find in many cultures throughout the world, still they're very strict about all these points. You'll find in Islam, they're very strict about this, those who are actually following. And there are many people still. They're very strict about this because they know that if the sexual attraction is allowed, if it's given room, if it's just let open, then the whole society will deteriorate. And that we practically see. In the modern world, thanks to Mr. Freud, Sigmund, he has given some idea that all the problems are caused in society because people are not allowed to indulge freely in their sexual desires. He got it round the wrong way. All the problems are caused because they are allowed to indulge. Is as much as free indulgence is given, that much all problems will come. And factually we see that when the sexual indulgence is allowed unrestrictedly, then all standards of morality, proper behavior, they become lost. And also people's minds become completely out of control. They can't control their minds. And people, we see in the modern age, the sex attraction is pumped. It's like pumping up. And people just go crazy. And then we're surprised, why do children kill other children? Why is so much murder? And why are people so much corrupt? And simply because this is our enemy. This lust is our enemy. Nitya vairina. This Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dushparena Analenava, this burning like fire is our great enemy. So the whole society is arranged how to subdue that. First, allowance is given, but it should be subdued and eventually overcome. Therefore, the role of women in Vedic society, role in any society. Here we see in Ireland, was, until recently, was very religious society. Even now, compared to other countries. So traditionally, the role of women was as mother and wife, not as pin-up in a magazine. Not girlfriend, not like that. But mother and wife, and her qualities will be developed, and they'll be very much respected. Chaste lady who is very chaste and develops the qualities which are natural for the body that she is in, that is to give love and affection to children, husband, elderly members of the family. Sometimes we read in Shastra, some statements are there, that women are very envious and their heart is like a razor's edge. Well, that will be if these qualities are not, if that other side, we sometimes become surprised to hear this, because we think of women as mothers, and that is stated that Matrivat Paradareshu, an intelligent, a learned person, Yapashyati Sapandita, a learned person, he should see all women except his own wife as mother. So if that motherly nature that is developed, then the other elsewhere in Prabhupada's books, and we see that women are praised for their qualities of kindness, motherliness, compassion, all these things. But if those qualities are not developed, then that tendency being frustrated, then we'll see all the other, it becomes transformed into the very bad quality. Therefore, the whole Vedic system was how to, now that we've got this human form of life, especially kula-stri-aro-kula-lok, men or women, especially those who are born in cultured families, they're trained to behave in such a way that they're very cautious in their dealings between the different sexes, and not only that, but their whole training in their dealings between each other, especially receiving Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, learned people, renounced, and be very respectful in their dealings. This is called cultured behavior. Especially those who are born in a good family, that tradition was there. So Prabhupada, he wanted to make this tradition. He wanted to re-establish Vaishnav Vedic culture. At the same time, Prabhupada is very practical, that the society we have at the present time is different. People are brought up in a completely different way. And it may be difficult for people to change their whole outlook. Of course, as long as we don't change our whole outlook, it will be difficult for us to live together. And we find that even though in Krishna consciousness we have the highest philosophy, the highest goal, still we often find it very difficult to live together, work together. This is no doubt because of we are brought up, after all, as Prabhupada used to say, cats and dogs. This Western society, the whole aim is simply how to get sense gratification by any means. It means cat and dog society. So having been brought up as cats and dogs, sometimes it's very difficult for us to give up that nature. But anyway, Prabhupada was teaching us by his personal example, by the instructions he's given in his books, how to live as Vaishnavas. Still, he gave allowance that the culture is different. Just like, for instance, one time, he, even though he spoke so strongly against it and was obviously very much disgusted by the prospect of it, once he allowed that one of his disciples conduct divorce. And his servant, the devotees were very surprised. And Prabhupada said, well, he's going to do it anyway. So if I say no, that'll be more offense for him. But that didn't mean that he was giving a license for that. Unfortunately, it seems that many of our devotees, they've taken this as a kind of license for divorce. And then what will be the result? Chaos. That women and children are supposed to be protected, but if they're not protected, then chaos. Chaos will be there. So this movement, now we're in pioneering stage, just beginning days, even now. It's not the first days, but it's compared to the run of 10,000 years, it's still very early in the years of the Krishna conscious movement. So Prabhupada's aim was to set up a society based on all the Vedic principles. That's why he's given so much instruction on all these points. So much instruction he's given on social setup, how the varanas and ashrams should interact with each other. He's given so much instruction, and he said that he wanted to see varanashram society set up. So we're still a long way from that. That means we're still very much in the pioneering stages. And pioneering means often we're learning by experience. Sometimes we're very slow to learn. But we should know what is our goal. Socially, our goal is to set up a society in which the divisions of varna and ashram are there, agrarian society, that is the social goal of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada also said that this oil-based civilization, it cannot last very long. Prabhupada predicted that will collapse in the course of time. So this agrarian-based, land, cows and Krishna, simple living, high-thinking society, divided according to Varna and Ashram, with the goal of living as peacefully as possible in this miserable material world, with the goal of practicing Krishna consciousness. So that is one of the goals of the Krishna consciousness movement, a very important work to give an alternative society, alternative how people can live with a different aim of life from that of gross sense gratification. How they can live, you can live happily, comfortably at home also. But the goal of life should be to worship Krishna. Bhaja Krishna, Balo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shivka. Worship Krishna, chant the names of Krishna, and cultivate knowledge of Krishna. So this is the direction we are going in. We are reading regularly Prabhupada's books just to give us some idea of what is the important work we have at the social level also. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Comment? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.